Heights and Mights podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Heights and Mights podcast. Heights and
Here comes the podcast. Pocket.
Tights and fights. Ching, ching, bling, bling. That's a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Hebrew Hercules, Hal Lublin.
Oh, boy.
And I'm joined in the booth by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the eater of words, Danielle Radford.
Hello.
How them words taste?
They taste so good. Mm. They so good in my mouth.
Mm. Delicious words in your mouth. And the Chicagoan Eagle, Mike Eagle.
Hi.
This past weekend.
It's all of them.
Ooh, this past weekend was Survivor Series, the ugly stepchild of the WWE's Big Four pay-per-views. But between that and NXT TakeOver Toronto, there's plenty of stories to cover in our first ever Survivor Series special. Before we get to that, a lot of people have been chattering about this and just gabbing and yammering all over social media. Lucha Underground's Aztec Warfare 3, which is a 20-person elimination match in the same vein as the Royal Rumble, but with pinfalls and submissions possible for elimination as well. The brand's top prize, the Lucha Underground Championship, was up for grabs, and here's what happened.
Oh, well, after that, she said, first she said it in Spanish, then in English, something like, I just want to tell you that inside, every woman is sexy, and every woman is a star.
Is that?
As she's, like, holding up the title.
Okay. Now, let me break this down for those of you who are not Lucha Underground watchers, namely myself and Mike. What you just heard was the sound of the glass ceiling of wrestling shattering as Sexy Star, a female athlete, becomes the top world champion on a televised wrestling brand. And Danielle, our Lucha Underground correspondent, you were there when this episode taped. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, what was it like in the temple live? Why do I have to call it the temple? What was it like?
Because that's the
name
of it.
Call it.
And she's the temple. And this is a room. You're talking into a microphone. That's the temple.
Fine. And the people in the temple are the believers.
We're the believers. Thank you.
She's a believer.
When did you?
Believer. Thank you.
Turn on me.
I didn't turn on you. I watched the match. Okay. Just watched the match, and the match did take up the whole episode, so I watched an episode.
Okay.
Yeah, Aztec Warfare takes up a whole episode. It's dope.
Now I wish I'd seen it, because when you say, like, Royal Rumble, I get real excited.
Yeah.
But you were in what was it like in the temple versus seeing the deal play out on TV?
The smell is the first big one. There's a lot of us. We're in the temple for a real long time.
Oh, yeah, and you know, wrestling fans.
And we sit, you have to stand outside in the heat for a real long time and in a bunch of lines before you can get inside, and then it's just compacted.
Is it well ventilated in there?
When have you been to a well ventilated wrestling show?
I was just hoping, since it was a TV show, that maybe they were considering the crew or something. I don't know. I was hoping they brought
some fans. I'm sure the crew got little fans or something.
They actually had dead dogs in front of giant fans blowing in.
This is better. This is authentic.
You'll like this. This is what the canvas smells like.
It was great. There was like this row of like, I was really close for that one. I was like, I think first or second row. Right next to us, there were like four women who were just like the most excited women.
Oh, they cut to them, I think, at the end. I think I know who you're talking about. It was like a group of women who just completely lost their shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. They were, and there's a lot of women believers in the temple. Like, there's a bunch of, like, ladies who go and a lot of women who, like, go by themselves. I have been definitely spoken to and approached and said hi to by women who were basically like, hey, stand by me.
Mm.
And talk to me so these guys don't.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Quite a temple, sounds like.
It's a wrestling show.
Okay, yeah. All right, fair enough.
I love our people, but we know our people. It's a bunch of dudes. And when you see like a really cute chick who's super, super into lucha, and man, like the chicks get really as dressed up and fancy as the guys get, and the guys get signs, and they got their t-shirts and stuff. The women come ready to play. Mm-hmm. They come with like the big friggin' lady pompadours and all the classic, 1960s girl makeup. The cute little wiggle skirts. It's great for me.
Well, okay. So for those of us who are not familiar with Sexy Star,
mm-hmm.
which now it sounds like is mostly me, what is it that makes her a compelling champion?
She's really tough. Like, she's one of those, like, underdog stories where it's like she's always been one of those people who fought the dudes. And a lot of the women in there fight the dudes, but a lot of the time it'll be, like, in trios or like, they'll have other dudes who have their back. And she's got people who have her back, like her and the Mac are close. But she's always kind of been like, no, like, I'm here to win. At one point, she was kidnapped by this dude who's named Marty the Moth.
Oh, the creep.
Yeah, the creepy one.
He's
like, because he was, his thing is he was, like, a joke. In the first season, and then he kidnapped her and was creepy and was like, who's the joke now? And she's also, she wears a mask, and other women in there wear a mask too, but like, you know, she's a luchadora and she kind of just kicks ass.
All right.
That's it.
Well,
it's a really good kind of like, I've been through some stuff and now I'm back and now I'm the champion.
Well, congratulations to Sexy Star.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at least one third of us will be following up on these developments as they happen.
Also, I do have to shout out at least one thing really, really quickly.
They also debuted
the Black Lotus Clan, who is a bunch of badass ninjas who beat the shit out of dudes.
Yeah, that was weird. And it was like all women, right? And they beat up the guy. That was great.
Yeah, what a great.
And it was a cool match to watch because it was Royal Rumble format in terms of somebody being introduced every some time interval. Mm-hmm. But instead of over the top rope, it was pinfall, which allowed a lot of action to go on outside of the ring.
Yeah, a lot of stories.
So actually the match was visually compelling all the way through because it was never like a cluster of people. It was always like something happening, kind of important to push the match forward. The finish was interesting. I still have that thing where, like, I don't really like to see the girls take bumps from guys. It really still messes with me. But it's interesting to hear you talk about the women in the temple and there being, like, a kind of girl powery thing going on there.
Yeah.
Is there something empowering about the women taking bumps with guys, even if it might look kind of ultraviolet and weird?
Yes.
To outsiders?
Yes, to dudes.
Yeah.
No, it's totally. It's a woman taking bumps in the ring is awesome because the dudes are taking bumps for them too. Now, when it's a woman squash match, I can see it being like, oh, I don't like that.
Right. Like some of even the bigger, like at the end, like, you know, because he's like throwing her through tables and stuff. And it's like, this is a little much. This guy's huge. You know, like,
we're not there yet.
The thing is, like, I know I am not there yet.
Right.
But it's interesting to hear that for some of the women there, like, that's really part of it.
Oh, yeah, that's totally part of it, and we love that. And Black Lotus is great, and they come in and they beat up dudes.
Yeah.
So exciting.
All right. Anyway. Well, you know what? I'm going to find it and watch it. I will.
It's really good.
All right.
Do it.
I'll do it. All right, let's move on to another brand of wrestling and talk about NXT TakeOver Toronto. We've got plenty of specifics to discuss, but first, Mike, is there anything that stood out to you in particular, something that you really enjoyed or that you didn't enjoy?
About TakeOver?
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Really?
That was 30,000 wrestling hours ago. Like, that's, I'm telling you, like, these weeks where there's a TakeOver and a pay-per-view and Raw and a SmackDown, like, that TakeOver feels like last year to me.
It's so funny you say that. Sorry to cut you off. And the reason why is I was thinking about this, too. Like, we've watched so much wrestling. It doesn't really become a matter of what's the highlight as much as what do you remember?
What do I remember?
Is there anything you remember
from TakeOver? What I remember, my favorite thing Well, I got a couple favorite things. One of them is the end of the Revival and DIY match. That ending, that visual of them two guys trying to keep each other from tapping, and they both kind of drive off the cliff at the same time, like Thelma and Louise. That was great.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember the entrances.
Yeah.
You know, Bobby Roode's entrance and Shinsuke's entrance, which was amazing with the camera work. And there's one violinist. No, there's two violinists. No, there's four. Now there's, the ring is full of them. And now everyone in the crowd has one. Now Samoa Joe has one. And he freaks out. Why do I have a violin? It was great.
When did I take these lessons? Right. Oh, man, that chick was getting down, too.
Oh, my God.
She was like, oh, no, I'm here. This is my moment. I got this fiddle.
No, absolutely. And I watched it with like a bunch of casual people, and it was really awesome to see how the entrances affect non-wrestling fans and get drew them into the product.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I first of all, I thought that 2 out of 3 falls match was maybe the best match of the year. The best match of the year. AJ Styles Cena was also a fantastic. Like, there were a lot of really good matches this year, which is fantastic. That one in particular, to me, there's something about the Revival that I really enjoy. And then what they bring on the heel side, that sort of classic old school, that the tag team that you feel like you would see in Georgia one week and then Tennessee and then they do down in Texas.
Yeah.
You see the face version of that in DIY. So they're so well matched. Like, I know we chant fight forever all the time, but I could really watch the two of them fight forever.
Yeah.
And I like the main event. Like, top to bottom was a decent card. There was something that felt really old school about the end of the Dusty Rhodes tag tournament where they put Paul Ellering in a cage above the match. He drops the chain. The
chain flies off into the crowd and murders someone.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, the chain did fly off into the crowd.
The chain definitely hit a person in the face.
It's the rubber hammer story from the Vader episode of Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. everything just felt like I knew there was so much yet to go in the weekend in terms of wrestling that it was hard to sort of get up for it as a fan. But that match definitely stood out to me, that 2 out of 3 falls. And the main event was good as well. Opening match was fine. Like, it was a decent show with one, like, all-time great match and a really solid main event for me. Mm-hmm. Danielle, what do you think?
Honestly, for me, I feel like I'm going to say this every time they have one of these big four now. I think that they are fucking themselves up by putting an NXT anything first. Because I always, almost inevitably, I like the NXT show better. And then by the time, like, the big WWE, you know, like the big Raw SmackDown thing happens, I'm like, oh, all right. These are matches. These are people in a match. But almost inevitably, I really enjoy, just as a whole, whatever the NXT product is more.
Did you like this takeover as much as some of the takeovers that have come before?
It wasn't as great, but NXT, I think anybody can... They're in a rebuilding year. They just got gutted.
Right.
And their talent is great, but, you know, it takes a while before everything kind of becomes cohesive the way that we're used to back when NXT started getting big. You know, you're used to having that old thing, and then people start leaving, and then all of a sudden there was just that huge, you know, all of a sudden all of these people are going up top.
Right,
and
the
so,
brand split especially.
Yeah.
There was a huge
even the creative
swath
team.
Cut off. Yeah.
Yep. So I think it's not as good as some of the ones in the past, but they'll get back to that for sure. I still enjoyed it. In a crazy way.
Let's dig into some specifics then. As we mentioned before, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, a.k.a. Team DIY, and Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson, a.k.a. The Revival, once again delivered probably the best match of the show, if not one of the best of the year. Ciampa and Gargano got to go over this time in a double submission victory and went home as the new NXT Tag Team Champions in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Mike, this is probably one of the last times that these two teams will wrestle for a little while, with the Revival headed to the main roster, if the rumors and innuendo are to be believed. What do you think's made the dynamic work?
Watch out,
work?
The club.
Watch,
you know, watch
what?
Out,
that gets to exactly the point that I was about to make, and it's that if you look at NXT over last year, you look at the rivalries that they've had with DIY and they had with American Alpha. They wrestle such great matches with all of these tag teams. I'm so worried about what's going to happen when they get called up. I just don't see that's enough. I think it might be another one of those cases where on the NXT platform where stories are told a certain way and it's about the matches then those guys are in a really good position. When it comes about characters and stories and being invested, I don't know if the revival is going to translate on a Raw or SmackDown stage. I think SmackDown, they have a better opportunity to get over.
Right.
I'm just worried, though. I'm worried about what's going to happen when those guys. I feel like if you, like you just mentioned, the club is right now the best analog for that kind of team. And you see they're just kind of flailing on Raw. They can't find anything to do with those guys.
And that's creative more than anything.
Of course. But that's the environment that they're in.
Following that thread, Danielle, some of the other areas of NXT feel a little bit thin right now. But this match and the Authors of Pain winning the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Tournament, with that going on over TM61, how encouraged are you that the tag division is in good hands? And this is an interesting question because there are four teams right now. If one of them goes up, then there are three teams left that are really teams. So where do you go next? Is that enough to sustain a division?
Every time I feel like they're taking the tag team seriously on any of the shows, suddenly something happens and I'm like, oh wait, no one cares about the tag team title. And so yeah, they take some of those dusty, I'm trying to think of like the more eloquent way, but like, nah, because this always happens where it seems like, especially with the tag teams, it ebbs and flows where you'll have a couple of months of really good and then like three faux months of middling.
Right.
Because it seems like as soon as something gets really good or something starts working, they're immediately like, let's fuck with it. Let's move some of them here and then some of them there and then see what the fuck happens. Instead of just like building on the thing, they're always immediately like, well, let's shake it up. That's what people like. It's like, only when it's not working. Ride it out until something gets stale and then do a thing. But nah, no, you know.
I mean, it's funny too. I mean, we just had the Dusty Classic. Can you call something a classic if it's only 2 years old? Can you do that? Can you bring something out calling it a classic? I don't know.
That's a good question.
But, you know, a lot of those teams were just two singles dudes put together, you know, and that's the state of the NXT tag team division. They just ain't got that many.
And they also didn't, I feel like last year, didn't they bring a couple teams back to compete, which they didn't do this time?
Did they? I don't remember.
Like, I think
they brought back the Ascension.
Yeah, the Ascension came back to compete. So year, if the Hype Bros had come back, the Vaudevillains had come back, it would have lent that tournament a little bit more weight. I wouldn't have made it classic.
You're saying we need the Hype Bros to give the tag tournament some weight.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Because you know what? They don't get hype. They stay hype.
I kind of like them now. I'm sorry. I kind of like Mojo Rawley and his Zubaz.
And his Zubaz.
I'm kind of down.
That's a fair point. Them Zubaz is dope.
Kind of down.
That's a fair point.
Well, we can dig into tag teams later, but let's move to other divisions and take a look at the women's title match with Asuka versus Mickie James, with Asuka retaining because why not? Who else is going to beat her? Unless all of a sudden she has a junkyard fight with herself like Superman 3. I don't know who is supposed to beat her. In fact, I would not mind a storyline where she eventually just relinquishes the title because there's no one left to challenge her and moves on to the main roster.
Start
that way.
Beating up dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she could be the sexy star of WWE. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Just start hitting some dudes with some strong style.
I love it.
Yeah. So Danielle, Mickie James is a multiple-time women's champion, and she made her big return to a WWE ring for the first time in a while. How did it feel for you seeing her back?
It was good. Like, it was one of those things where I wasn't sure if it was even going to be something I was into. But I really, really enjoyed it. Like, I thought that was a great match. I thought it was really fun. I would love, and I kind of feel like this is where they're going, but I don't know because I don't read, like, the super gossipy stuff because they want money from me, and I ain't got that. I would love it if Mickie comes back. You know, they do the rubber match. Mickie wins. Asuka goes up to SmackDown, where I think some experience is needed. And she can do dope matches with Becky. My God. And then have Mickie there to kind of be like the old hand to help some of the newer women out. That would be great. I would love that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I hope happens.
She didn't seem like she'd lost this. I mean, obviously, it's not like she hasn't been working in all this time.
Yeah.
She just hasn't been working in WWE, but she came. I mean, felt like she delivered everything. She did look crisp, and it seemed like I enjoyed it, the match from the story it told. I will say I forgot that the match was on the card until I looked down on the script just because I couldn't remember the show.
Yeah,
like which is
show.
Yeah, I was like, maybe, were there only three matches or four matches?
Yeah, I hate how shitty it sounds. The only thing I hated with them pants.
Yeah, you know.
I just don't like a. I
honestly, watching it with like casuals.
I don't like a bell.
She looked really weird to them.
She
looked really weird to people who had never seen her.
Because of the bell bottoms?
Because of bell bottoms, she kind of looked older. You know, like, it was just like, what, why am, you know what I mean? Why is she in here with this young woman beating the hell out of her? Like, what,
see,
why
I
is
like
she
that.
In this position?
I want there to be an old ass woman in there kicking the shit out of young girls.
Right, right. But it just, Mickie James isn't really that character.
Right.
You know, but she was always more.
Especially
like
not in that outfit.
Finesse.
That looks like an old Bella outfit.
It does.
We're just like, oh, we still have some of these in the back. Right.
Look, she took some of Fandango's pants. And she's trying them on. It's fine. But let me follow that thread with you, Mike.
Guys, you guys remember that weekend? It was so good.
Oh, we loved them so hard. Oh. We loved him so hard for exactly 72 hours.
It was a magical time. It was different. It was the roaring tens. Mike, assuming Asuka goes to the main roster soon, because it doesn't seem to anybody who's read even Ember Moon.
Well, that's what I was about to ask. What's up with Ember Moon? I haven't been watching NXT from week to week, but the last time I did, I saw like five women I didn't recognize. I don't know why any one of them couldn't have been built up for this Asuka match.
A lot of Australian women right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's going on with that, where they can't build up one of these women for an Asuka feud?
That's why I'm wondering if Mickey's going to come back and do a thing and they're going to let Asuka go. Because who's going to kick Asuka's ass?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ember's the one with like the clearest shot, but you know. Oh, I can't wait for Ember to really get into gear.
Well, is she not in gear? That's the thing.
She
I don't even know what's happening
she
with
is.
Her.
But
she's
not
good.
But not like from a I'm going to main event now.
Yeah, she needs to be
characters there.
Leader of the locker room, kicking that ass. Yeah, kicking that ass.
Finally, let's talk about the big thing that shocked everyone, and that is the NXT Championship match between Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura. And I think most of the audience expected Nakamura to go over and for that to signal that Joe was moving on to the main roster, but nope. Joe wins and becomes the first ever two-time NXT champion. Danielle, how surprised were you by these results? And does a few more months of Joe versus Nakamura interest you?
I liked it. I love Joe. With what we were saying about like kind of parts of NXT seem a little thinner because all the big stars got, you know, called up. It helps if you keep both of those dudes. Like, until you start building some other people up to get to that point, or just fucking Ricochet comes over or whatever happens, whatever new dude that they just swoop up. That's the other thing is, like, a lot of people that you would have thought would have been, like, the new hot indie guy wound up being wrapped into the cruiserweight division.
Interesting.
Right.
So, like, I guess you just keep those guys there and they fight forever? I don't know. Like, where would even... Nakamura is dope. I don't think the main roster is ready for him.
I think if you put him in SmackDown, I think logically you send him to SmackDown.
If you send him to Raw, you just fucking just forget it.
Yeah, he would disappear.
Just forget it.
But think about it. You get Nakamura Styles. You get Nakamura Cena. Mm. Nakamura Ambrose.
And they'll put him
Nakamura
in
Ziggler. And Nakamura Miz.
They'll put him in a position where he can get stories over with just charisma.
I think I would put him up in the main roster as early as the Rumble, if possible. Have him lose the return match at TakeOver. Have him enter the Rumble. Whether he wins or whether that starts his feud with someone else, you have that. And then Samoa Joe's job for at least a limited amount of time is to help make the next star to take his place. So it seems like that's what happens, is whoever's on top grooms the person below them. Mm-hmm. You know, Neville wrestling Sami Zayn was grooming Sami Zayn to be the top guy. Not that he didn't have the ability to do it, but it sort of set him up like, I'm going to give you the rub with a series of really great matches, and then I'm going to go, and we won't skip a beat. And Kevin Owens sort of came ready to go anyway.
I think that
seems to be how it progressed.
I really wish they would AJ Styles more people, though, and bring him in and just kind of get him in there.
Yeah.
These guys are older. These guys have been wrestling for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And you see with Cesaro, with Sami Zayn, with Tommy, these dudes' shoulders will fall off in the middle of the match. They will fall off. Like, you have to get these guys in positions to, like, help your company draw money, like, real soon, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's true. And I also think that part of the problem with Samoa Joe being down for so long is that when you do bring him up, instead of him coming in and being, like, kicking the door open and being like, I'm Samoa, motherfucker, fucking Joe. He's going to come in and people are going to be like, oh, it's the browner Kevin Owens. Like, they're not going to get it. Y'all know I'm right.
Yeah. I never even thought about that before. Yeah. But you're absolutely right.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you who he's tailor-made to feud with, and this is going to sound dumb as shit, but I have reasoning, believe me, is Roman Reigns. The reason why is he's the only Samoan in wrestling who is not related to everybody
else.
He's
the black sheep Samoan. That's
so you bring him in and go, like, you have had everything handed to you.
Oh, my God.
All I've done is go get it myself, and I'm going to beat your ass
and
embarrass your family.
I love it.
I always worry about Samoa Joe when the holidays come around. Do those other Samoans invite him to stuff?
No. No. He is not their oos.
He is not their oos. They all walk around, oos this, oos that. Hey, Joe.
Joe.
So sick.
Joseph.
Right.
Hello.
Oh, man.
Oos, Joseph.
You're looking well. So you've been wrestling in NXT. Very nice. That must be very nice for you. Well, that's another entertaining takeover in the books. And takeover usually precedes a WWE pay-per-view. And that's why we'll be discussing Survivor Series up next on Tights and Fights.
Podcasts. They're audio programs that
tell smart stories
in innovative ways
using editing techniques like this.
But let's face it, all that smart stuff can be exhausting.
That's where Stop Podcasting Yourself comes in.
It's so stupid.
It's just two stupid dinguses
being dumb idiot jerks for 90 minutes.
Stop Podcasting Yourself.
The stupid show that smart people love.
Find it on iTunes
or MaximumFun.org.
Are you in need of a shakeup? MaxFunCon is our annual comedy and creativity festival, and it changes lives. MaxFunCon West returns to Lake Arrowhead next June, and MaxFunCon East is back in the Poconos next September. Tickets for both are on sale right now, and they will sell out. Visit MaxFunCon.com to buy your tickets today. We can't wait to see you there.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and with me as usual to talk about all things wrestling are
Danielle Radford
and
Mike Eagle.
WWE's last of the big four pay-per-views, both on the calendar and in the order that they care about them, is Survivor Series. But every once in a while, something big comes out of the event. A couple of years ago, it was the WWE debut of Sting. Before that, it was the debut of The Shield. This year, what got everyone talking was the main event. Not many were looking forward to Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg, but after this happened, everyone had something to say. Let's hear a clip.
The urge of getting slayed. What an incredible moment here. Trying to touch his brother, trying to make it to his feet.
Brock looks like a wounded turtle right now.
Just rolling around on his back.
Yeah.
Use your legs, Brock. Use your legs.
He's like, oh, right, I gotta sell this.
Goldberg's looking for
they want me to sell this
time. Yeah. Goldberg looking at the jackhammer. A jackhammer to Lester. Here's the cover. Oh, my God.
Brock helped him out so much with that jackhammer, too. It was beautiful. It, like, warmed my heart. Oh. He helped him with the jackhammer.
Apparently, they're really close friends, I've heard.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
That
Who knows if it's even true? That sound you just heard was Goldberg beating Lesnar in a match that was shorter than the video promo that built it up.
Yikes.
And I'm just going to say, I thought this finish was a refreshing change of pace. And I'm not with all the people who are like, serves you right, Lesnar. It's not Lesnar's fault he was booked the way he was booked and that essentially booking devalued their entire roster. You know, that he was successful at the expense of that entire roster. But it was a nice story of the guy who comes back to be a superhero and is a superhero and stands up to the bully and knocks him over. Now, again, how good it is, as much as you could have the best match in the world, and if what follows it is crap story-wise, then you're devaluing the match that just happened. So really, this is kind of up in the air as to how good it is or it isn't. I don't think Lesnar's really hurt by it. I do get that transitive property where now the entire roster looks weaker because none of them can beat him. And 49-year-old Bill came in and beat him in less than 90 seconds. But it was really like it's hard to be surprised nowadays, and that was a pleasant surprise for me. So Danielle, that match, regardless of how people felt about it, got a major ovation from that Toronto crowd. What did you think about the finish?
I didn't hate it. Like I didn't, you know, for me, it's always what's next. So, like,
you're next. Yeah. You're last.
Yeah, so,
I love his wrestling voice. It's the best.
It's so good.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. So for me, it's always like what? Yeah. So he did. He basically like out Lesnar'd Lesnar. He did to Lesnar what Lesnar did to Cena, and it does devalue all those dudes. I'm not to get too political. Not good. I didn't hate watching a big Jewish dude just beat the crap out of some like
Aryan,
huge juiced Aryan.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say I didn't enjoy that. That was real fun. But yeah, like it's all about where it goes next. And I think that you can't keep it where he's like, I just want my kid to, like, you can't destroy the entire roster and be like, I just wanted to see my kid watch me do some matches. Like at a certain point, you got to be like, okay, well now I want this. If you're going to beat, and which they did when Stephanie was like, hey, do you want this other title? And he's like, oh, I guess I do.
Yeah.
Since that's what you're doing.
Exactly. As you brought up, like if we were recording this on Monday morning, we would have a lot of questions, but as you pointed out, Goldberg announced on Raw that he was going to be entering the Royal Rumble. He says he has one more title run in him. Mike, what are your thoughts on the match from Sunday and whether or not more Goldberg interests you going forward?
I mean, actually, when that match happened, like, I did what I usually do. I'm kind of, like, looking at Twitter while I'm watching the match. I'm like, oh, it's over already. I had to, like, rewind it and watch it and make sure that really happened, and I was just kind of confused at first. I was like, oh, it's interesting, and I do like to see something interesting happen, but I was confused given the effect on booking, given that you've booked Brock for 2 years as an unstoppable force capable of beating up everyone, and you bring in, like you said, a 50-year-old man to come and squash him. What does that mean going forward? But then I thought about it in terms of, like, Undertaker being at that point mostly a WrestleMania attraction.
Sure.
And then so he had attraction heat, and then they transferred that to Brock, and now they're kind of giving that attraction heat to Goldberg is what it seems like. And what they're probably going to do is have him be in that same position but have a better contract with him where it doesn't cost them an arm and a leg every time he shows up on TV. And so I think in that way it makes a little sense to have a guy around with that level, with that kind of aura, but you can use more frequently than they've been able to use Brock, even if it's just for a short amount of time. I think it's a kind of a better investment that way.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about him getting his ass beat in like MMA while he's like full of stuff.
Yeah, right. While he's been chewing steroids all day long.
Just been taking them all down. You know that, Brock's unstoppable. No, it was just a spear. Did you know that? Just a spear from a 50-year-old.
That's all
it was. Really, that was
but
what stopped
him. But he's a superhero. Well, maybe there's some unspoken rule in WWE that the fewer dates you work, the more dangerous you are. Brock wrestles 4 times a year. Nobody beats him except the guy who wrestles once a year. And if they bring back Bruno Sammartino once a decade, then he literally murders somebody just with a finger poke. It's the true finger poke of doom.
It's just the rest. That's what happens when that's what happens when you're properly rested.
All right, let's move on to the Survivor Series matches themselves. Team Raw was victorious in the women's and tag team matches. Team SmackDown was victorious in the men's match. The matches were filled with a bunch of moments. You had Shane getting killed by Roman, Bayley pinning Becky Lynch, James Ellsworth helping eliminate Braun Strowman. Mike, what stood out to you in these matches?
I love the use of Ellsworth under the ring.
Yeah.
Heart flutter pop for that.
Right?
He's so cute. You know what I mean? This is great.
And the perfect way to use him.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I love Shane taking those bumps, even though it looked like he died. Mm-hmm. I love the little mini Shield reunion, even though it didn't make any sense. I mean, they tried to make it make sense, but it really didn't all the way make sense.
Yeah.
And those are the things I can remember.
Really?
And it was a great match. I know that, but it was an hour and, like I said, 30,000 hours of wrestling. The mind fades.
I will say, I feel like everybody's waiting, including me, waiting for Orton to turn on Wyatt.
I'm not. I like it.
You like it?
I actually love it. I don't want him to change his clothes. That's all.
Yeah. I don't think he's changing his clothes. I think he's just going to keep the hood up on his. You think he should? You want him to?
Yes. I think he should go further.
Just a big butcher smock?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, what a great idea.
and high-lie gloves.
Yes!
Yes.
Really weird. But he, that moment where he took the spear for Bray so that Bray could get the pin.
Love that too.
That was a really great moment where they just keep going further with the storytelling. And again, just because I'm used to seeing this with Randy Orton, every time he does something to sacrifice himself or does something to prove his loyalty to Wyatt, I just think they're just setting us up for the turn.
No, and it's great. And I do it for a year. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, do it for a year. Let me get all the way into it and then do it.
Yeah. Danielle, as these teams of five strive to survive, which of those three men? Don't, please. Yes. Please.
You can't do that without rapping. You can't do that. Well, you can't just say that.
Mike, do you want to?
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't at all.
I would need my backup music to do that. I couldn't possibly be ready. Could it?
Teams of five strive to survive. Here we go. We're gonna go down on the mat. That didn't rhyme. Who cares? Who cares? It didn't rhyme. I said, cut the music.
Danielle.
Oh, God.
Which of these matches.
I'm so happy right now.
Was the most enjoyable? And did they at all restore your faith in the Survivor Series elimination match concept?
You can't just let. You can't make us.
Can
no
I?
Sell
I can't
that.
Just.
That was great. No, that was fantastic.
All right, Mike. You're professional. Scale of 1 to 10. How'd I do?
I think you did an 8.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. You had rap hands going. It was a good bop. It was a strong bop.
I wasn't doing the normal circle that I did.
Yeah, you evolved.
I did.
That was great.
It's gorgeous.
Well, thank you. Danielle, what do you think? 1 to 10?
1 to 10? I'm going to give you, because I'm not an expert, I'm going to give you a 7.89.
That's fair.
That's fair.
So which of the three matches is your favorite? And do you feel like this pay-per-view helped reinvigorate that elimination concept? Because it has sort of fallen by the wayside outside of like 2014, where those matches didn't mean as much anymore.
Second question, no.
Okay.
Just because I didn't feel like these matches meant anything.
Okay, no stakes.
There weren't any stakes. Like, what did you get? It was the whole, like, oh, I'll fire you. And then on Monday, she's like, I just kidding. there were no stakes. There was nothing at risk. And while I don't need it to always be, I'll fire you. In fact, that's incredibly boring.
Right.
There were a couple of stories that got moved along. I did enjoy that Shield moment. Who didn't?
Yeah.
That was great. It was so pretty. So pretty. None of the matches were my favorite. They didn't have any stakes, I guess. I feel bad because I usually am. I'm like, hey, guys, they put on a show and it was for us. So, like, I feel like this is possibly the most negative I've ever been about the product on a podcast, and I feel bad.
I'll tell you, if you're leaving a review on iTunes, I'm going to tell you what's great about the dynamic of the three of us is that it's usually one of us is real pissed off, and the other two just enjoying the fuck out of it. And also there, like, I'm there for you. Mike's there for you.
Of course.
We're all here for one another, but thank also, you. Like, it's great. One of us needs to be ranting at one point.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't. I don't understand. Like, I didn't. Nothing meant anything.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do this big thing of, like, have we decided what SmackDown versus Raw? Does that mean that, like, when Vince dies, they get everything? Have we figured out what the fuck that means yet?
That is a great question.
Well, also, they kept selling. I forget if it was, like, JBL say, like, you know, you talk about a dream match of a lifetime. These 5-on-5s. I'm like, all of these people have wrestled each other.
Yeah, they were all on the same brand last year.
3 months ago.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
They were all on the same show. There's nobody new here who hasn't wrestled somebody, unless you put Ellsworth on. Even he's been on both shows.
Right.
You know, it's a dream match. Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz. Like,
I did love that match, and I wish that on Raw they had fired Sami Zayn, and he had been punished that way.
I agree.
That Foley had to fire, like, she forced him to fire Sami Zayn.
And then he went to SmackDown where he could be a person?
Yes.
That would have been great.
Because he's sub-person right now.
He's not a person.
He's sub-person. Yeah. All right, these matches put the WWE in a really tricky booking situation. Several of them, actually. And that there's no getting around your top stars losing in one of these matches. So every single champion, except for Charlotte and Kevin Owens, was pinned in their respective match. Do you think that damages the perception of champions, Danielle?
Not so much when it's these big ones. Like, I don't, that doesn't bug me as much as when it's like, oh, they're having a title, you know, the champion is fighting whoever, but it's not a title match, and then the champion loses over and over and over again, which is a story they love to tell.
Right.
I think if it's these multi-person matches, I'm totally okay with the champion getting pinned.
Right.
Yeah, that's totally fine by me.
Do you,
If I say it's fine by me, like I have a choice.
But even in the case of...
No, it's fine. I co-signed it. It's good. You're welcome, but, Vince.
All right.
Well, goddamn, Danielle. Thanks.
Like I have a say.
Now, Mike, along these same lines, like I keep thinking, I hear what you're saying, Danielle, mm-hmm. but I also think like the New Day got eliminated real fast to the point where it was like, why are they not in this match? They should have been a more dominant team. Especially for a team that's been running through the rest of the division, whether they're cheating or not.
Yeah, I can
like,
see
Like, they did not, they were not really featured at all. Is that an issue to you, that they're not featured well?
The New Day, not necessarily as much, because, I don't know, their whole thing is cheating lately anyway. They're okay. holding on to these belts by a straw, so I'm fine with that in terms of the story they're telling with them.
I like it.
It bothers me yeah. more when it comes to AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, though, because... These guys are guys who I like and I want to do well in the eyes of the company, and I don't like them booking them to look weak, especially Owens. I don't like that his title is always second or third tier of importance in a storyline or whatever they're telling. Like, the list is more over than his belt.
Like, yeah, he's just holding, like, the beta belt.
I don't know when that happened. I really don't. Because what really bothers me about it is that you can think back clearly to when Reigns was the champ or when Cena was the champ, and they were never put in these kind of positions. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Kevin Owens could use a little Superman booking, just a little, just a little, to get him over and make him look strong. And don't you raise everybody else up when you do that?
Mick didn't even remember the name of the title.
Oh, my God.
On Raw. He didn't even remember the name of the title.
He forgets a lot of stuff.
I mean, he's been hitting the head a
lot.
I get it.
I feel like Stephanie has to, like, feed him words sometimes when they're back doing backstage
segments.
He didn't
even make it. They didn't even try to make him go all the way down that ramp. They had him stay right at the top both times he came out.
He needs the John Laurinaitis scooter to get him.
Yo, take care of them knees, boo.
Here you go, Mick. You can ride this around for as long as you want. So, real quickly, let's run through the rest of the card. Let's not even talk about the cruiserweights. We can. We talked a little bit about Miz retaining the IC title via fishy means. I actually love that. I don't think I've ever seen that before, that type of interference. Mm-hmm. Maurice ringing the bell so that Sami Zayn thinks he's won the match.
I think that happened.
It's really clever.
I feel like it happened like once Attitude Era-ish, and I can't remember who did it, but it's great.
Because
now that it's so fun, they'll be like, oh, remember that? And we'll start seeing it like three times, four times a year.
Of course. Yeah.
I think the holidays got me bitter. What's happening to me today?
You know what? This is a rough time in general. It's that seasonal affective disorder. There's a lot of stuff happening in the world.
Like, man, fuck fun.
Yeah. You know what? Fun? Fuck off for a little while. But we also had the Cruiserweight title match. It was also for the division. Brian Kendrick retains as Kalisto wins via DQ and Baron Corbin runs in and absolutely destroys him. Looking at the results overall, WWE clearly wants Survivor Series to be the Raw versus SmackDown pay-per-view. It's also worth noting that even though Raw won the night, it sort of didn't matter for either show. It's just a moral victory. Do you guys think they properly sold brand versus brand as a good path for Survivor Series, Mike?
I think... when I looked at SmackDown this week and they had Shane come out and cut a promo when he mentioned Raw, people booed. And I thought that was really interesting because I don't know if they're doing that on purpose. I mean, he certainly was selling SmackDown as the face brand because people were there to see SmackDown. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's ever going to happen on Raw where people are just cheering Raw over SmackDown. Like they know they're like they're invested in that product. I just don't see that same fan connection ever really happening. So I'm not sure if that... how that dynamic is supposed to work and if it will ever be cleared based on attendance or if they even want to go that far. Like, I don't get it. And like Daniel said earlier, there's no stakes for anything. And maybe it's the kind of thing where in the future they can think of some way to make the matches mean something.
Right.
Then it's good. But even without that, I thought the 5-on-5, the elimination matches were good for what they were in terms of furthering other storylines. The main thing I noticed is that this week, to me, Raw seemed better than SmackDown. But I think the reason why is that Raw storylines were kind of move forward with Survivor Series. Mm. And SmackDown's kind of in a holding pattern until TLC next week. So everything that happened on SmackDown last night was a waste of time, and that's typically not what they've done. So I'm hoping after TLC that SmackDown kind of picks back up.
Yeah, I mean, I do have to say, I think it was one of the better pay-per-views of the year in terms of match quality. I would put it below No Mercy. I still think that's the best pay-per-view that has been put on by either brand. What do you think? Danielle?
About Survivor Series being the best pay-per-view.
Yeah, or does it sell the brand versus brand? I mean, I can see how they're planting the seeds. It was definitely way too early for us to think that these were dream matchups or any of that other stuff.
Right.
But I mean, how do you feel about the overall quality? Do you think it sells that idea of these brands being at war with one another, getting to meet once a year?
I like them I do like the idea that like the brands are going to meet and whatever. It's just we've also got the Rumble where they're also going to be like the superstars meeting.
That's
and
true.
Having like these dream matches. I do like it, and I've always liked the concept of Survivor Series. Like I said, I just wish that it had some kind of like stakes other than like bragging rights, because bragging rights are dope. And yes, I want every wrestler in the ring to be like, this is about me proving myself and me being the best. I do love that.
Yeah.
I think when it's something on such a big scale where it's like this team versus, you know, this roster versus that roster, instead of it just being this team versus that team, I feel like I do need a little bit more than just like, hey, we won. Let's go get cheesecake or whatever. Like, I do want there to be some, and again, and maybe not necessarily people being like, if you don't do it, you're fired or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I wish there was something, you know, someone mentioned like, oh, well, you know, if whoever won, one of their guys gets to come out 30th in the Royal Rumble, or they get to headline WrestleMania, or they get, and it's like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
That's like a real thing where it's like, okay, there is something in this. You can't tell me it's important. And then when I'm like, why? You're like, cause that's my sister.
and. Man, I wish they could do some sort of visual branding without bright red and blue t-shirts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Man,
we don't need that. But that's
a little.
That's part of the issue is like, would we not know who is on which brand if they weren't wearing t-shirts? And
right.
It was only the guys' groups where they started. Like, AJ Styles took his t-shirt off.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns had his tucked in because that bulletproof vest can't fit. He would look like an umpire.
He's got the protector under his shirt.
The Roman umpire?
Yeah,
the Roman umpire! This entire show was worth it! That's so good.
That does it for our Survivor Series special on Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. Our hosts are Danielle Radford and Mike Eagle, along with me, Hal Lublin. Our producer and secret soldier from Beyond the Glass is Julian Burrell. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music as well, so we're putting him over for that. If you're going to be in Chicago on February 11th, come see us at Very, Very Fun Day. We'll be there along with all sorts of other Maximum Fun podcasts like Judge John Hodgman, The Flop House, and tons more. Details are at MaximumFun.org/Very, Very Fun Day. Keep up with us all week long at Facebook.com/group/TightsFights and @TightsFights on Twitter. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.